in, please take your Bibles and turn to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 4. As you're turning there, if you're a note taker, you're going to find that I messed up on my outline. On the third point there, there's 3 points, A, B, and C. B does not belong. I was revamping my outline as I usually do and somehow left that part in there. And so when I sent it, it was the wrong outline. So just recognize that. When you get down to the last point, when you get to B, there is no B like it says there. So it's A, B, C, scratch B, and you'll be just right. Let me read to you out of the book of Acts. We've been in the book of Acts for a few weeks now and recognize the early church was on fire for God. Great things took place. If you remember chapter 1, that's the picture of the Son, Jesus Christ, ascending into heaven, and they beheld him, and Jesus was gone out of their sight. And the angel said, just as he went, so he shall return. And so they were excited about that. Acts chapter 2, that's when the Holy Spirit descended. And we find that day of Pentecost takes place. The church is born with the power of God. And many people believed and came to faith. Acts chapter 3 is last week, lame Larry. If you remember, he was sitting by that temple waiting for alms. And lo and behold, Peter and John walks by and he is healed. And we find a great opportunity as they share the word of God. And we'll find in this chapter, multitudes of people got saved because of the things they did in the previous chapter. And so with that, let me read to you out of the book of Acts. Acts chapter 4 said this. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they that taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in the hold even to the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and the elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name you have done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by which means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people in Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head corner. Neither is there salvation any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. Thank you, Lord, for your power and your might. Thank you for your love, mercy, and grace. And Lord, I pray that you would move mightily among us today, not only causing us to see you for who you are and to saving us for those that are not saved, but for those that are, Lord, that we would be a witness for you, that we'd stand up boldly and proclaim your word, that we'd be counted faithful, that we'd share what you have done in our lives, that others may receive the same thing. So, Lord, today I just pray that you would just be in this place, stir us, convict us, and guide us. And thank you, Lord, for that promise that when your word is read and when I come back void, in the name of Jesus I pray, amen. Well, I found something the other day. I like this. I like Matthew chapter 16. It says this, and Jesus said, who do the people say that I am? And his disciples answered and said, some say you're John the Baptist returned from the dead. Others say Elijah or one of the prophets. And Jesus answered and said, but who do you say that I am? And Peter answered and said, thou art the Logos, existing in the Father as his rationality and then by his active will being generated in consideration of the various functions by which God is related to his creation, but only in the fact that the scripture speaks of a Father and of a Son and the Holy Spirit, each member of the Trinity being co-equal with every other member, and each acting inseparably with an impenetrating every other member with an economic subordination within God, but causing no division which would make the substance no longer simple. And Jesus said, what? You'll get that in a minute. So many times in life we see the theologians and the great people of the academics try to take this idea of Jesus and explain who he is. Well, let me remind you, the early church did not do that. The early church looked around and saw Jesus and recognized that Jesus came, that Jesus lived, that Jesus died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. And then those disciples carried the simple message of Christ to a lost and dying world. And that message changed the whole world, even the world we live in today. And so our hope today is this, that we would focus on this simple message, that we would live out this simple message, that we would simply be as God called us to be and share these great truths. We recognize there are so many good things. I'd like to share a few things out of this passage that really speaks to our heart today. First, there's the proclamation from the people of God, the proclamation from the people of God. We find Peter in chapter 2. You remember in about verse 14, after the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit has fallen. Those men were speaking in tongues. Peter used this example to take the lead and preaches the gospel, and many people get saved in chapter 2, 3,000 at one time. Then we find Peter again in chapter 3, around verse 12. There's this picture there after the lame Larry got healed there, that he finds an opportunity, and Peter takes the initiative and proclaims the word of God, and we'll find multitudes get saved there. But then we find a change in Acts chapter 4. Yes, Peter will still take the lead, and Peter will still preach. But notice there's going to be an expounding of the word, an expounding of the word by the people themselves. Not just Peter sharing the word, but it will shift from the Peter proclaiming to people like us sharing the gospel of Christ. Again, verse 1 says, "And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection of the dead." Notice, they spake and they taught. Again, it is great that Peter takes the lead sharing the gospel, but recognizing, and the important thing is, that other people became involved sharing the good news. And that same message is for us today, that we're all called to share in some way. I love Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "But ye shall receive power." Notice, "But ye shall receive power after that Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth." We will be witnesses, the Bible says. Jesus said in Matthew 28, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost," teaching them. And so God's called us all to be a people that share this good news. Even the Old Testament reminds us that we should warn the people and tell the people. I like Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 18 says, "When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and you give him not warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked ways to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at your hand. Yet if you warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wicked ways, nor from his wickedness, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul." We're reminded that God has entrusted us with this life of sharing the good news, that we were to be a faithful witness when it comes to sharing the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And so they were sharing this simple plan of salvation, that all have sinned, that Christ came to die for our sins, and that all who repent and accept Christ as Lord, they will be saved. It is one of the greatest messages you can ever share, or the greatest message you can ever share, because it will transform the lives of so many. It is the good news that leads others to have life themselves. Now we're going to find they didn't have answers to every question, and neither do we. But they had the one answer they needed, and that one answer was Jesus. This new year, look for opportunities to share Christ. This new year, look for an opportunity to be a witness for the Lord. Look for open doors to open your mouth and declare the gospel of Christ. Now, I know you're probably thinking, well, God's not called me to share my faith. I'm not a preacher. I'm telling you, we're to proclaim this message every place we go. We are, as a disciple of Christ, to simply share, not just by your actions alone, but we must open our mouth and share the good news. So there was the expounding of the word. But secondly, there was the effects of the word. The effects of the word. Verse 4 says, "Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. They were not saved in tens or twenties or even hundreds, but by thousands. Again, in Acts 2:41, 3,000 get saved. And now here, and I believe in Acts chapter 4, 5,000 get saved. And I know what some would say, well, probably not an additional 5,000. Maybe it's the 3,000 plus some more, maybe equaled 5,000. Well, I'm telling you, God's not in the probable business. He's in the improbable business. And I know that God can do anything. And so I'm going to take it as God saving 5,000 people at that particular day. There is nothing impossible with God. Isaiah 59:1 says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. In other words, God is able. You may ask yourself, man, that's incredible. Well, why were so many people being saved? I can tell you first, it is not because of the messengers themselves. It was not because they were persuasive preachers or they had great personalities. Matter of fact, if you read verse 13 of this chapter, we find they are unlearned and ignorant men. Matter of fact, these guys couldn't convince anybody of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. They could not even convince their own group, Thomas. He would not believe. But when they were used of God, when they truly believed, when they were simply willing to share the good news of Christ, things took place. So I'm telling you, it's not about us as messengers. It is about the message of Christ that changes everything. It is not about the messengers. It is the message of Christ. And it was used by the mighty power of the Lord to do something. When they spoke, the Spirit did something. And so we recognize that we must share the good news. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You cannot hear something unless it is spoken. And again, Isaiah chapter 55, 11 says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereto I sent it. All I'm saying is this, that if you will share the gospel of Christ this year, if you will simply open your mouth and give a testimony about what God has done in your life, that same message can be used to change the lives of others. We are commanded to speak the word of God. I just wrote down, commanded to speak from the pulpits, from the patios, from the pickup trucks, and from the pavements. And I said, we must proclaim the word of God. Now, some groups will tell you, well, if you don't do this, you're simply not going to make it to heaven. Well, that's not true. I'm telling you, our salvation is sealed and secure. But if you don't speak the word of God, if you don't share, you will miss a great blessing. And the people that will not hear will miss a greater blessing. You may be thinking, well, we won't make a difference like they did in those early days, but I'm telling you, it surely can. I remember a crusade at Billy Graham's and see thousands in my lifetime. I've seen thousands walk forward. I'm telling you, the Lord can use us in a mighty way. How do I know that? One, the world is still the same as far as sin. We recognize just as sinful in those days as it is today, if not more so today. And so there's two major groups. Lost and saved, and two groups of believers, those who share and those who won't. So I wonder this year, will you enlarge heaven by your words being used by the Spirit of God, or will you enlarge hell by your lack thereof? We must proclaim. And so the world is the same, but also the word is the same. I'm reminded what Timothy says, or Paul says in Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. We recognize that God has given us this word which is true. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21 says, for prophecy came not at old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. If we'll read this word and share this word, it will change lives. Lastly, gets back to the idea, not just the world being the same and the word of God being the same, but the wonder they preached or spoke about is the same we can today. When you read verse 2, it says, being grieved, they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. That is the wonder we need to proclaim, that Christ gives life to all that call upon him. Christ rose from the dead and gives life. We all need that. I'm reminded how people in the past have put their faith in different things and has led to their life not making it where they should be. I think about Buddha and Muhammad and Confucius and Mahatma Gandhi and Ramakrishna and Joseph Smith and Mary Betty Aker and all those other people. I think about Vladimir Lenin. This is what they said about this guy. He was born in the late 1870s, 1877, I believe, and he started this Bolshevik revolution, really the communist movement. Here's what they said about him. He was the greatest leader of all people, of all countries, of all times. He was the Lord of the new humanity. He was the Savior of the world. But I'm telling you, you can go to his tomb today and still find a dead man right there. But the God I serve, Christ Jesus, is risen. He is risen indeed. That's why it says here in verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And so that early church preached the narrow way, but the narrow way leads to life. And thousands were saved because of the narrow way. Maybe you're here today and the Word of God is bringing you to a conviction. I wonder, will you respond to that? Here's the two choices. Will you believe the Word of God and accept that? And secondly, will you share the Word of God and let it be used in your life to bring others to know who Christ Jesus is? There was the proclamation from the people of God. But secondly, there's the persecution against the people of God. I just want you to know that when you share God's word, there's going to be some kickback. I want you to know that when you share God's word, there's going to be some pushback. There's going to be people against you. It's always been so. Verse 1 again says, as they spake to the people, the priests, and the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Verse 3 says, and they laid hands on them and put them in the hold until the next day, for it's now eventide. Let me again say, there's always been opposition. And so we find the Sadducees coming on the scene again and having a great pushback. Matter of fact, arresting them and putting them in jail. Now, if you don't know who the Sadducees are, they were one of the three ruling classes or the three major religious classes in that day. There was the Sadducees, the Pharisees, and the Essenes. The Essenes were kind of off by themselves. They were kind of like John the Baptist in the wilderness. They kind of held up by themselves. The Pharisees were like the Apostle Paul before he got changed there. They were very smart. They believed in the resurrection of the dead. They understood some things right. And then the Sadducees, these guys didn't believe any of those things. They believed that once you were dead, you were dead. And so when they began to preach the resurrection, they did not like that. They laid their hands on them and put them in jail. The next day we're going to find they're going to do some things to them. So notice first, the tough questions for the believer. The tough questions for the believer. Verse 7 says, and when they'd set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or what by name have you done this? And so they bring them out of the jail, they sit them in the middle there, they surround them and ask them questions to intimidate them and to kind of push them back for fear. Maybe that would kind of hush them up a little bit today. And I know that same thing may be felt today. Nobody's going to arrest you, but people sometimes kind of push away and they kind of put you in this little box and they maybe ask tough questions to try to intimidate us. But know this, that if you'll just be faithful, God will help you be a witness as you should. Matter of fact, there's a promise in God's word that he would testify. When we testify before others, that he would be there for us. Luke chapter 21 says this in verse 12. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you and deliver you to the synagogues and into the prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it with your hearts. Do not meditate before what you shall answer. For I will give you a mouth of wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay or resist. So I believe that you could put that for us as testifiers, that if you will simply share what God has put on your heart, God will help you answer the questions they have. If not, you just tell them, hey, I will get back with you. It will be okay. And so we recognize that God wants us to be a faithful people. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 says this, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you of the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. There will be some questions, but know this, God will help you. You can get past those tough questions that others may understand and know the true thing about Christ, that Christ died for your sins, that he was buried and rose again the third day for your sins, giving life to all that call upon him. And so we go from the tough questions to the testimony of the believers. And so in this tough question, finally, notice what Peter says in verse 9. If we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. And so Peter says, look at us and examine us. We want you to look at our life. We want you to look at what we've done. And then you'll see the power of God. These men recognized that Peter and the rest of the apostles had done something beyond the ordinary. There was proof in this broken life restored of the lame man. He was now leaping and praising and really preaching what God had done for him. So it gets back to this idea, examine us. And we need to be a people that are examined for our good works. We want to live a life of testimony so that when others see that, it doesn't detract from the message of Christ. And Peter says, look at our life. Now, there's always going to be fruit inspectors, and that's good. Matter of fact, we're called to be fruit inspectors. But I've also found in the church sometimes, not just fruit inspectors, sometimes there's fruit eaters. They kind of sit around and rest on other laurels. There's fruit pickers out there. If you do something just wrong, they'll pick apart. There's fruit loops. That's the lost people sometimes, amen. There's all kind of fruit people out there. And yet we're called to be people that are willing to let our lives be examined of what God is doing in us. See, when that man, Lame Larry, his name is really not Larry. Y'all get that right, amen? That's just after I remember him. Lame Larry leaps, that's lame, 3 L's, chapter 3 for Acts. But anyway, when he gets up and leaps around, people recognize something amazing has happened. And when everyone comes to see what happened, then they declare the gospel. And so here's a life changer. If people are going to examine you, I want you to examine yourself first. I want you to look at your own life. If you really want to live for the Lord and truly be a witness for him, make sure you're living for him before you stand before others. Matter of fact, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11:28, but let a man examine himself. That was during communion. But he also says in 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know not your own self, that how Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. And so we're called to examine ourselves first, making sure that we are truly living for Christ, making sure that we are truly pointing others to Christ Jesus. Their words and their works pointed to Christ. Matter of fact, when you read verse 13, it says this. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. That they had been with Jesus. Their walk or their actions showed they were followers of Christ. Matter of fact, when you get to Acts chapter 11, we find in verse 26 says the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. And what that means is, Christian means little Christ, that their life looked so much like Christ, they were called little Christ. They were imitators of Christ and his life. And so it should be for ours, that our walk should look like Christ's walk, but also the works. Again, Lame Larry leaping about. Matter of fact, when you get to verse 16, they said this, saying, what shall we do with these men? For indeed a notable miracle has been done by them in manifesting to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. The change in Larry was undeniable or unquestionable, and so that change in our life should be the same. We should be Lame Larry. We should be the one that gets up. We should be the one that shows others that we've been changed by God's power. And so we need a life that truly lives and shines brightly for the cause of Christ. Again, we're going to find the pushback, not only tough questions and a testimony of believers, but now the trying to silence of the believers. When you get to verse 17, it says, but that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. Now, let me remind you about these guys. This is Caiaphas and Annas and some of these other guys. These were the same guys that presided over the trial of Jesus that really had him crucified. And so they have great power in that society. They could have done many things. Matter of fact, when you get to chapter 5, they have these guys keep on doing this. They beat them severely. So they had great power. And yet we find that no matter what, they, the disciples, will choose to continue to preach the Word of God. They choose to simply speak who Christ is. Matter of fact, notice verse 19. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than to God, judge ye. For we but cannot speak the things which you have seen and heard. And they say this, we will continue to share the good news. In face of persecution, in face of hardships, in face of trials, we will continue to share the good news. Today we blame the courts for binding the Word of God and holding us back. Sometimes we blame the wretched and the unbelievers for binding the Word of God and holding us back. We can blame this thing and that thing and that person, but really the only thing that will hold the Word of God back is us. The only thing that binds God's Word today is those unwilling to share the truth. We must share the truth in face of persecutions or rejections or anything else. I like this. I found this years ago. If we please God, it doesn't matter who we displease. If we displease God, it doesn't matter who else we please. The disciples said, we will please the Lord. We will share the good news. So let me end with this in this particular point. Will you share your testimony even if it causes you to be uncomfortable? Will you share the good news even if it costs you rejection? Will you share the good news even if it costs you persecution in your life? I know some people that have gone to jail because they were willing to stand for the truth. I know some people that have suffered loss because they were willing to suffer the truth. I wonder, will we this next year be willing to simply be focused on that straight and narrow and share the good news? Well, here's the last point. Not just the proclamation from God's people, not just the persecution against God's people, but now the power for God's people. Verse 21 says, so when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they may punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for those that which was done. Again, they wanted to punish them, but they could not. And so we find that the power is experienced in their release. The power is experienced in their release. Verse 23 says, and being let go. Now, you may not think much about that. You may think, well, they had to let them go, but I'm telling you, they had power. If they could have Jesus killed, they could surely have these guys killed. But we know that God is sovereign, God is in control, and God is working this out. He has a plan for them. I love Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And so all through Scripture, we find the power of God getting people released. I think about little Joseph in the prison. He was let go to be used by God. Daniel in the lion's den, let go to be used by God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace, let go to be used by God. Paul and Silas in Acts 16, let go to be used by God. Peter in prison in Acts 12, let go to be used by God. I'm just telling you, if you'll just be faithful, God is always faithful. And it may be some uncomfortable situations, but God has the power to bring you through. Don't lose hope in the one who is our hope. In all situations, God has a plan for the prison. He has a plan for the burden. He has a plan to simply unleash us and let us do his great work. Don't be discouraged today by your situation, but take heart in knowing God is in control and has a great plan for you and the situation you're in. In verse 23, and being let go, they went down to their own company. And so God brings them back to where they need to be at. And so they find their power experienced in their release, but secondly, power experienced in their rally. Notice they're going to have a time of prayer and praise, and it will be good. Verse 24 says, when they had heard, they lifted their voice to God with one accord. They're going to have this great time of singing and praising and recognizing that God has done great things. He is the creator and the sustainer of all things. Man, how good of praise it was when they recognized God was working. And then we find there's a time of prayer. Verse 31, and when they had prayed, I wonder what they prayed about. One, probably a prayer of thanksgiving about what God had done, but also a prayer to continue forward to do the right thing. But notice what happens in that rally. One, the foundations were shaken. Again, verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. You ever wonder why that place was shaken? I think it was a sign that God was still moving things, that God was still on the throne, that God was still in control. When Christ died, the world was shaken. When Christ died, the temple veil was torn. When Christ died, the graves of the saints were opened. The same power that shook the earth on that day shook that place. And so the believers took heart, saying, God's power still reigns today and is sufficient. The place was shaken. Secondly, there's the filling of the Holy Spirit. Again, verse 31, when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Christ promised he would send the Spirit, and the promise had been enacted. Yes, in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit came. But remember, now there were much more believers. The believers were coming left and right. And so Christ promised he would send the Spirit, was acted upon in such a way that they all knew. The Spirit would guide them. The Spirit would teach them. The Spirit would inspire them. The Spirit would protect them as they followed the will of God. I'm reminded of 1 John chapter 4. You of God, little children, have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The Spirit of God. That's that still, small voice that leads us and guides us. It's the still, small voice that shows us the right way. It's that peace that envelops us and passes all understanding. Even the great joy that God gives us in the midst of hardships and trials, in bleak circumstances, the Spirit gives us hope and peace. But it doesn't stop there. Not only were the foundations shaken in the filling of the Holy Spirit, but the faithful sharing of the Word of God. The end of verse 31 says, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Earlier threatened, they better not say a word about Christ anymore. They trusted the Lord rather than the word of men. And we find that they will do something amazing. They will turn the world upside down. And so can we. I think about what God is doing in us. And so why fear man? Why fear your coworker? Why fear your spouse? Why fear those that don't believe? Simply keep sharing the good news. The psalmist said, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6 says this, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Psalm 56, 11, in God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Over and over and over again, the Word of God helps us to understand that God is with us and for us, and we not be afraid of those and what they can do to us. And so they spake the Word of God with boldness. And I wonder today, will we do the same thing? No matter the cost or retribution, will we be willing to share? No matter the loss of reputation, will we be willing to share? I wonder, will we simply live a life that will leave no doubt, that others may know that the Lord has done something in our life? I like that verse again where it says, they were shaken. And so what shakes a person today? Recognizing that we are guilty of our sins, it should shake us. It should shake us knowing that we will stand before an almighty judge one day. It should shake us that our Father has sent a son to die in our stead. It should shake us that the foundation of our life, to know that Christ loves us so much. And so I wonder, will we live a life that truly shakes and truly shakes others by the Spirit of God? There's a little poem. It says, shake me, Lord, in my life, so I feel your presence near. Shake me, Lord, in my life till I simply hold you dear. Shake me, Lord, in my life so I will declare your great name. Shake me, Lord, in my life so that I will never be the same. I'm telling my friends, those early disciples understood. They were shaken to the core. The Spirit of God filled them, and everything changed in their life. And so was the world. And so it can be today, if we'll simply be faithful to the calling of God. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes just for a moment and bow your head and think about your life. It is so easy to see those early disciples and say, wow, but they were people just like us. No different when it comes to being sinners. Read their stories. No different when it comes to their faith. No different. They just allowed God to use them in their life. That's what we need today. It starts with the surrender. Maybe today it's salvation that you never said, Lord Jesus, save me. The ones they preached, Christ Jesus came and died on the cross for our sins, was buried and rose again the third day for our sins. That same one is what we preach today. And it's the same gospel that can change your life. If you're here today and need to accept Christ, why not walk forward as we sing and make it public? Secondly, if you're here and you are a believer, are you truly living for the Lord? Are you truly serving Him? Are you truly surrendered? If not, make a commitment that I will totally surrender my life today. I will simply commit my life doing what God wants me to do. You'll be so much better off simply living in the will of God than living in your own will. If God's calling this morning, why not follow Him? Maybe thirdly, it's church membership, and God wants you at this place to serve Him here, to be involved in this house, to share the good news. Just come forward in the invitation song. We'll take you just as you are. If you're a baptized believer, that's all we need. Whatever today is that God's calling you to do, simply say yes and let God work in your life. And in so doing, work in the lives of many more to come. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for those early church members that simply live for you. Lord, how they changed the world by simply being faithful. So, Lord, today, let that be our life. Change us, move us, help us, that we may be found faithful too. And we ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen.